Hi, it's Bruce Russ here from Carbonetics, and I'm interviewing Stuart Nesbitt, who is the Climate Action Officer in Darebin City Council. And I've known Stuart for a while, and he's definitely a man of action, and he's achieved great things in reducing the energy use at Darebin Council. So, Stuart, very good to have you on the call. And
thanks, Bruce.
Yeah. This is the first question is, by how much has Darebin City Council reduced its energy use in the last year or so?
Well, in the 2007-08 financial year, corporate greenhouse gas emissions reduced by 16% overall, which is the equivalent of 2,900 tonnes of CO2 reduction. And these reductions were achieved through a bulk green power purchase program and an energy efficiency program. We've extrapolated the data and found that a 6% reduction, or 460 tonnes of that, can be attributed to the energy efficiency program alone. Now, the significance of this is it's the first time we've actually reduced energy use in our buildings, which has been increasing in the past due to new facilities and increased service levels.
Ah, very good. And what have you done to achieve those savings?
Well, an aggressive energy efficiency program was implemented targeting the 11 top energy-consuming buildings in Darebin. Now, these buildings use 80% of the energy used by council buildings. Now, projects included de-lamping, improving the efficiency of office and security lighting, placing timers on high consumption appliances such as hot water urns, printers, IT equipment, hot water ring main pumps, etc. Some of the other high-profile initiatives included removing an electric floor heating system from maintenance workshops and replacing it with a radiant gas heating system, and changing air conditioning run times and optimising air conditioning systems, as well as solar hot water installation on selected buildings and upgrading inefficient heat pump air conditioners. And probably the big ticket item was installing pool covers at the aquatic centres.
Very good. Now, just back to your 6% energy savings. When did you implement the measures? So is that 6% capturing the full year, or is it just part of the year?
It's just part of the year. In actual fact, as you well know, Bruce, we had predicted higher greenhouse gas emission reductions, but if we break down the amount of projects that were actually able to be implemented in the time that we had for that financial year, we had tracked a potential greenhouse gas reduction of up to 1,000 tonnes, but a couple of the big ticket items that needed quite sophisticated engineering solutions were not able to be implemented, so that we couldn't capture actual savings, which was extrapolated from the utility data.
Okay. So as we're looking forward into this financial year, when you look back, the savings should be significantly higher than 6% then, is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes, that's right.
Good. Now, how have you identified the savings measures that you've implemented?
Well, prior to my appointment at the City of Darebin, Carbonetics were engaged by the City of Darebin in early 2007 to conduct audits of the top 11 energy-consuming buildings and provide a report on the savings opportunities identified. And this information ultimately fed into the development of the Climate Change Action Plan, which in turn created my position to project manage the energy efficiency program and a lot of the initiatives that were identified in those reports.
There were other initiatives identified though as well. It sort of went beyond the energy audit, didn't it, Stuart?
That's correct, yes. Once we sort of got into those target buildings, we were able to further refine some of the initiatives and find more options, which in tail was able to add to our projected greenhouse gas reduction. The original projected greenhouse gas reduction was 640 tonnes from the financial year based on those audits. But we were able to identify some more initiatives when looking more closely at those buildings, which then allowed us to track up to 1,000 tonnes. And we're confident that we will be achieving that once the bigger initiatives out of that program are implemented.
Excellent. Now, if we look at your savings, what percentage have come from investments in new technology, and how much has come from just using the equipment you've already got in a better way?
Well, I would say that over 80% of the savings achieved from the energy efficiency program have come from just being smarter about the way we operate the council buildings using existing energy efficiency methodology and principles. For example, you know, optimising an existing air conditioning system to run more efficiently without any mechanical upgrades can potentially save 30% of the energy required for very little cost up front.
That's really quite good. So the message there is that you don't necessarily need to spend a lot of money on capital works. You just need to use what you've got a bit better.
Absolutely. And initially, that would ordinarily be the thing that your targeted approach, that would be the low-hanging fruit, you know.
And what's your return on your investment been?
Well, the return on investment threshold when the climate change action plan was adopted was set at 15 years. So anything under 15 years was considered viable. However, you know, once we've extrapolated the data from the last financial year's program, the return on investment calculated in that financial year has been an impressive 3.4 years. So we certainly did pick up quite a lot of low-hanging fruit in that program in that financial year.
Oh, that's fantastic. And this is perhaps a more broader question. Other than the technology, I'm sort of thinking of the organisational things. You've probably touched on them already, but what's the key reason for your successful carbon reduction? You know, many organisations set out to reduce their carbon, but in my experience, actually, not many achieve it. So,
experience too, Bruce, I can assure you. But, I mean, look, the reason for that, as we sort of touched on previously, was that you've just got to identify a low-cost, high-return energy efficiency initiatives, as I termed before, the low-hanging fruit. You know, my position is dedicated to reducing council's greenhouse gas emissions, so I can work closely with staff across council, Carbonetics and contractors to make sure that we have everybody on board supporting the initiatives and making sure that they're well planned and implemented and maintained. You know, our data management of energy use has also improved. So our utilities data management office is continuously tracking our energy use and providing regular graphs and reports to facilities managers and upper management at council to ensure that when we've identified these high gain, low cost return initiatives, that we can benchmark those and actually sort of measure our performance.
And what's been the level of commitment of senior management to this process?
Well, I'd have to say impressive. You know, the main reason I accepted a position working for Environment at the City of Darebin was the high level of support for sustainability from Darebin's council and executive management team. The ambitious greenhouse gas reduction target set by council with its 2007 Climate Change Action Plan has meant a strong commitment to reducing council's corporate carbon footprint is of a high priority. We also have a greenhouse steering group, which is a high-level forum with four of Darebin's six general managers represented. And the group meets every 6 weeks and oversees the implementation of the Climate Change Action Plan. And I can tell you that, you know, because I more or less organise and chair those meetings, that level of support from the executive management team is ongoing and very enthusiastic.
And without that support, would you have achieved what you have?
No, not at all. I mean, and this is from personal experience coming from a previous organisation that didn't operate in a top-down approach. And that's what I find here at Darebin, is that the message comes from the council and the executive management team and filters down through the organisation. So there's a very strong commitment, and I don't really believe that you can achieve high ideals without that commitment from the senior management.
Okay, and has there been a carbon reduction target that you've
worked on? Yes. Obviously, as part of the CCP program, many years ago, that Darebin was participated in, that sort of created a target back then. So our immediate target is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 20% on the 1999 levels by 2010, and that was the original Cities for Climate Protection target. Now, through the Climate Change Action Plan, we're on track to achieve this target this financial year, and that was one of the commitments that was brought forward as part of the development of the Climate Change Action Plan. But the action plan actually goes further and commits council operations to being carbon neutral by 2020, hence the very strong commitment to initiating these energy efficiency programs.
Well, that's great. So you're basically a year ahead of schedule in getting your target.
Very much so, yeah.
Good. And another question is, would the savings have happened if you didn't have a target?
No, I don't think so, Bruce. I mean, these initiatives require a measured approach and targets create incentive and drive to ensure that the ultimate goal is reached. And, if you don't have a target to aim for, your approach to it, from my experience, can be very ad hoc. So I think the targets are very important and I think they made a big difference.
So if I just sort of summarise, you've had a target, you've got senior level management commitment, and then you've got someone on the ground like yourself who's pretty aggressively pushed through low-cost, low-hanging fruit type measures to get a good energy saving. And I guess it's a win that gives the whole program confidence to keep on going.
That's right. And you know, those factors have been critical. And, you know, as you said, to be able to be on the ground and actually project manage this, you know, I've seen similar situations, and I'm sure you have over the years, where you might get a range of measures that are recommended by an energy performance contractor, but if there's nobody within council initiating, measuring, benchmarking and project managing those things, they tend to distill, if you like, within the organisation. So it certainly needs a measured approach and people on the ground internally in the organisation to make sure that those things are rolled out in the way that they were intended.
Yes. How, you mentioned before that you've got that you have been measuring your carbon emissions. How have you done that? Has that been off the bills or
Primarily it's utility billing data that we use to measure the performance. You know, council's had a dedicated utilities data management officer for some time now who monitors council's carbon footprint to give us an accurate tracking and reporting mechanism. Now, this position is key to identifying problem areas that need addressing in terms of energy reduction. Regular reporting back to key facility managers on how their buildings are going builds awareness and support for the program and enables tracking of how changes in practice or facility use impact on the energy use. Now, Darabin's using the carbon metrics tracking tool developed by your good self, Carbonetics, Bruce, in preference to other data management tools, as we find it easier and effective to use, and it provides better reporting functions than other systems we've used in the past.
Thank you. Now, in we've looked about the environmental benefit, and you know, we've touched on the good payback you had, 3.4 years. Are there any other ways, or in what ways has this focus on reducing carbon emissions been of benefit to the council?
Well, the main thing that we find is it's attracted significant community support. You know, like all councils, they're required to service and represent the local community, and Darabin's conducted extensive community surveys which have revealed the community place environmental sustainability high in a list of responsibilities they expect from their council. So Darabin's keen to provide leadership in this area and work with our communities to help households and businesses also reduce emissions. The Energy Efficiency Program also returns direct cost and efficiency savings, and this puts us on the front foot as energy prices continue to rise into the future. So, you know, we find it, you know, it's a benefit all round.
And if you had done nothing, if the council had no concern about its carbon footprint, would it be any better off than it is today?
No, definitely not. You know, for as many years as I've been involved in local government, Bruce, I've watched as most councils' greenhouse gas emissions and utility costs have spiralled out of control with service expansion. And this is ultimately not sustainable for the council or the community it serves. So, no, I don't agree that the doing nothing approach is just not an option. It's definitely been of a benefit to act and act quickly.
Okay. You've got an ambitious target, zero emissions by 2020. So what's next in cutting your greenhouse gas emissions?
Well, quite obviously, continued expansion of the Energy Efficiency Program targeting larger facilities and a program to assess and reduce energy use in smaller facilities. And in the not-too-distant future, we're intending to roll out a large-scale energy-efficient street lighting program across the municipality. So we're you know, obviously have been involved for many years now in negotiations with the distribution businesses to introduce more efficient minor road lighting. And also this year, Darabin is developing a community climate change action plan to review our existing community programs and to look at ways we can best work with the Darabin community to make large-scale emission reductions. And we're also developing an adaption strategy to prepare for the impacts of climate change and peak oil as well. So we've got quite a few things on the agenda moving forward.
And how does renewable energy fit into your long-term plans?
Well, the long-term plan, it's obviously very important as part of the program you heard me mention earlier that, you know, we do buy or had over the last financial year bought quite significant chunks of green power, but we are now currently a 100% green power purchase council. So, you know, by by default. You know, that's a support of renewable energy. And we actually produced a microgeneration paper that was asked of by council earlier this year. Council looked at opportunities for council to become a microgenerator and roll out renewable energy projects across the city. So we looked at various different options there that included solar PV on a large scale rollout and potentially wind energy opportunities and also cogeneration opportunities at larger council buildings. In terms of renewables, I mean, that's where we're looking at that stage. So there's quite a lot of things that we're looking at.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Now, just to sort of summarise then, Stuart, and provide some very interesting information, what would your advice be to other councils that are wishing to reduce their carbon footprint?
Well, I mean, the first thing would be to adopt a greenhouse gas reduction target and then adopt, closely followed by an energy efficiency hierarchy, placing energy conservation and efficiency the highest of priorities. You know, the next step would be switching to renewables, as you know, we mentioned before about green power purchase or obviously in situ renewable generation within the city. And lastly, offsetting only the residual emissions once all other energy efficiency measures have been exhausted. So in terms of rolling out an effective energy efficiency program, getting high management support, setting up a good data tracking method, developing or recruiting in-house staff with time to manage projects effectively, and engaging reliable consultants that have a good track record of achieving actual energy reductions. And I would think that these would be the things that I'd recommend to other councils moving forward.
Yeah, and I think we probably need to add that when you're employing staff to sort of push the projects through, I think you need to probably be employing people with a practical bent like yourself, Stuart, who can tell when a contractor's perhaps making something up or distorting the truth a little bit. Would you agree?
Well, I agree with you, Bruce, and this is not just because I hold a position in this area, but I mean, obviously, as you and I have both known over the years, that to effectively project manage an energy efficiency program, when you're dealing with multitudes of different contractors with different experience, you certainly need some experience yourself to identify what's being done and whether or not that work will be effective in actually achieving the outcomes that you're looking for. And not surprisingly, the majority of my time would be spent with electricians because, reducing electricity consumption is probably the key to the energy efficiency initiatives that we roll out. So, as I said, I do spend quite a bit of time with electricians as far as the project management is concerned and working with them closely to ensure that the work's done in accordance with the energy efficiency hierarchy.
The other area too, it's not only dealing with the tradesmen, it's also actually dealing with people in council, you know, your colleagues, I guess.
Colleagues. That's right. Most councils have, a facilities maintenance management team. And certainly there is some experience within these teams about building maintenance, and it's been important for us to work closely with that team because they are the responsible party within council that roll out maintenance. And if you can incorporate energy efficiency in routine maintenance as well as working closely with them as far as upgrades of buildings and mechanical systems is concerned, that's obviously very important as well. So that'd be your two key factors, I would think, as far as effective project management internally would be to work closely with contractors and the facilities or building maintenance teams within council.
Yes, yes. And what about the other council staff more broadly? Some things like de-lamping or changing air conditioner settings may result in some complaints in some areas.
It certainly does, yes. But it's part of an education program, and fortunately we do have people on staff in the Environment Department here, excuse me, at Darabin that are involved in education. So because we work as part of a team, you know, if I'm rolling out a new initiative or proposing a new initiative, we involve those education staff in that process. And then we'll have things like meetings where we gather staff that may be affected by some changes together, and we explain why we're doing it, and we explain what the likely benefits will be and what the likely changes or the effect of those changes will have on individual staff. And quite often it's just a situation of building an understanding so that people know where you're coming from. And, for instance, as you said before, when you're changing the level of light, you're not taking anything away. You're providing the light that is regarded as acceptable by the current standards, and creating energy efficiency at the same time. And quite often what you find when you do these things is that you're changing the colour of a light, or you're changing the intensity of a light, that may have an effect on people's perception of what you're doing. So you certainly need to work with them to explain to them that it's not about taking things away, it's about doing things more efficiently whilst still providing a level of comfort and amenity, so people can do their job effectively.
Yes.
And this is never so more important than it is with lighting and obviously air conditioning and thermal comfort in buildings. And this is one of the reasons why we have a lot of education programs, and we keep people informed about what we're doing.
Great, great, great. You've provided some really valuable insights, I think, Stuart. Thank you very much for your time.
No, you're welcome, Bruce. No problem at all.
Okay, well, all the best in getting your 2020 target.
It's on track, and we're firing on all cylinders.
Okay. Thanks,
Bruce.
Okay, cheerio.